Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. Preeta Banerjee is an SDI New Contemplative for 2019. The New Contemplatives Initiative seeks to encourage, understand, and engage with spiritual directors in the first half of their lives. Preeta is a spiritual companion who draws on a broad and deep range of experience. She's a strong voice for combining spirituality, creativity, innovation, entrepreneurship, and social change, currently in her work as co-founder and partner at Whiteleaf Advisors, LLC. She's a PhD in strategic management from the Wharton School and a Bachelor's of Science in Computational Biology and Business from Carnegie Mellon. I spoke with Preeta at our post-conference inter-spiritual retreat in Seebeck, Washington, where Preeta taught our group on Hindu practice of yoga as sacred intention, simply being present to our bodies, the world around us, and being whole and connected. Preeta, thanks for being here. Thanks for chatting with me. Can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do and how spiritual companioning plays a role in that work?
Thank you, Matt, for having me. So currently, I am practicing what I call spiritual coaching. The official title of my work is Harnessing Energy for Authentic Leadership or HEAL. And it is 100% about spiritual companionship, in that what we see nowadays are the requesting of people of diversity, whether it be ethnic, religious, racial, gender, you name it, to step up into roles of leadership. And nothing else changes except that they are sitting in this role for the first time. And in standing in this role for the first time, need a lot of support. A lot of change is being required for these difficult times, and leaders to lead us into new places of light. And in order to do that, leaders need to be authentic, and authentic leadership is spirit shining. And how does that spirit shine? Through companionship. And I see that as my role as a spiritual coach.
So you equip like business leaders and government leaders, or just leaders of all types from all walks of life, and you equip them with spiritual tools. So what are some of those?
Meditation.
Yeah.
Connecting to their inner knowing in any form, shape, or form. I am also a yoga teacher. I also am an avid reader. So if a coachee asks me, have you read this book? I go and read it. And then we use that as discourse, because those are all fodder for connecting into our authentic leadership.
So you find like little, whether it's a book or an article, or what, are there like songs or things that, just things that you can connect around, and like a shared language, right? Common.
Absolutely. Music is key, as we were experiencing earlier today. You know, chanting, playing music, dancing, moving, any type of movement, sports, activities where the Maya is, or the illusions that we are separate from that divine, any of those are removed.
The illusions. So when a leader or somebody comes to you, no, that's not how I want to put it.
Why would somebody come to you? Like, why does a leader need to access their inner self, their inner truth? Why does a leader need to equip themselves with spiritual tools? And maybe some of this is you helping dismantle the Maya that people have. Maybe you could talk about that.
So as we teach in Shantana Dharma, or based from Hindu philosophy, is that there are five layers that are separating us from that. And they're all called Maya koshas, whether it be the body or our mind. And those being made salient by walking in worlds that point that out to us, that you are this, you are that, and you are not this, and you are not that, it doesn't allow us to connect into the truth and our true leadership and our true knowing and ushering in change and change that is needed. So often to rise to leadership positions, we had to do things to survive. And we need to move through those which served us and say, thank you, you served us to be able to survive, but now we need to thrive. And understanding what that thriving looks like and tapping into that and manifesting it.
Yeah, we think of business success, excuse me. We think of business success as sort of, I went to school, I got my MBA, I've climbed the corporate ladder, I've risen to the top, right? Yeah. Hi. So we're recording. Preeta, thanks for being here. Thanks for chatting with me. Can you tell me a little bit about the work that you do and how spiritual companioning plays a role in that work?
Thank you, Matt, for having me. So currently, I am practicing what I call spiritual coaching. The official title of my work is Harnessing Energy for Authentic Leadership or HEAL. And it is 100% about spiritual companionship, in that what we see nowadays are the requesting of people of diversity, whether it be ethnic, religious, racial, gender, you name it, to step up into roles of leadership. And nothing else changes except that they are sitting in this role for the first time. And in standing in this role for the first time, need a lot of support. A lot of change is being required for these difficult times, and leaders to lead us into new places of light. And in order to do that, leaders need to be authentic, and authentic leadership is spirit shining. And how does that spirit shine? Through companionship. And I see that as my role as a spiritual coach.
So you equip like business leaders and government leaders, or just leaders of all types from all walks of life, and you equip them with spiritual tools. So what are some of those?
Meditation.
Yeah.
Connecting to their inner knowing in any form, shape, or form. I am also a yoga teacher. I also am an avid reader. So if a coachee asks me, have you read this book? I go and read it. And then we use that as discourse, because those are all fodder for connecting into our authentic leadership.
So you find like little, whether it's a book or an article, or are there like songs or things that, just things that you can connect around and like a shared language, right? Common.
Absolutely. Music is key, as we were experiencing earlier today. You know, chanting, playing music, dancing, moving. any type of movement, sports, activities where the Maya is, or the illusions that we are separate from that divine, any of those are removed.
The illusions. So when a leader or somebody comes to you, no, that's not how I want to put it. Why would somebody come to you? Like, why does a leader need to access their inner self, their inner truth? Why does a leader need to equip themselves with spiritual tools? And maybe some of this is you helping dismantle the Maya that people have. Maybe you could talk about that.
So as we teach in Shantana Dharma, or based from Hindu philosophy, is that there are five layers that are separating us from that. And they're all called Maya koshas, whether it be the body or our mind. And those being made salient by walking in worlds that point that out to us, that you are this, you are that, and you are not this, and you are not that, it doesn't allow us to connect into the truth and our true leadership and our true knowing and ushering in change and change that is needed. So often to rise to leadership positions, we had to do things to survive. And we need to move through those which served us and say, thank you, you served us to be able to survive, but now we need to thrive. And understanding what that thriving looks like and tapping into that and manifesting it.
Yeah. We think of business success, excuse me. We think of business success as sort of, I went to school, I got my MBA, I've climbed the corporate ladder, I've risen to the top, right? And I'm making lots of money, my company's making lots of money, my shareholders are making lots of money. By all accounts, I'm successful. And so how do you break through to somebody like that to be like, okay, well, you have more, there's more to do. Now you have to think about how the people around you are going to thrive. You have to think about how your company or your organization are going to contribute to the common good, to seek flourishing for all people, to be a sustainable organization long term, getting beyond the mindset of the short term gain, the pleasing shareholders, etc.
Yes, I would just reflect back what you just said. Is there more? And if "is there more" resonates anywhere in the body or energy of the person sitting before me, then there's a pathway to explore and to discover the more. And without that question, without that openness or curiosity or search or a question asking, the curious question, we can't open. So any of these words would just fall on unwanted people. And that's not why these leaders are chosen. Right? We choose leaders to lead us into the future that we believe they can take us to more. And if they are those leaders, they need to keep asking that question. Is there more? Is there more? And feel into that.
And so if somebody says, if a leader asks themselves, is there more? I need to come talk to Preeta. Like, what's one of the first things you do with them? Or what's one of the first mayas or illusions that needs to be worked on?
So there's often a word that comes in that to the answer of is there more, and we explore that word, whether it be the word happiness or the word joy or sorrow or pain. What does the word diversity mean to you? And we unpack that word. And it's incredible what one word can hold for these discoveries, these journeys, and they're like tributaries to the river, to the ocean. So these words are just seeds that we can nurture and grow from, seeds that we can tend to and then grow these amazing spiritual practices, spiritual beings. And we must remember we're all spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. Can you, well, what are some practices that you have personally, some spiritual practices that keep you grounded, some sacred words that you encounter in your own walk as a leader, right?
Thank you for asking that question, Matt. I like to think of myself as a Renaissance woman. And the discipline is always doing something, but it's not always the same thing. The intention with each step is what makes us, makes the work holy, as they say. So the intention in hugging my kids, reading a bedtime story, yoga practice, you know, asana practice, kirtan or chanting, dancing. I also practice culinary and martial arts as a black belt in Taekwondo. All of these are ways which I connect and practice on a daily and multiple times a day in a way, but never the same thing in that sense.
Let's talk about... Excuse me. Let's talk about yoga for a second, because you taught that. You teach yoga, but you teach it not in the, like, we're going to go stretch for an hour. You teach it in a sense, you use the word intention. Mm-hmm. And you teach how yoga really just means intention. Can you reflect on that and unpack that a little bit?
Beautiful question. So the word yoga means to yoke and to join. As a fellow journeyer explained, if you think of two oxen being yoked together, one cannot move without the other. They walk together. And in that sense, the yoga I teach is a gentle yoga, one in which we are awakening to our true nature. And often that cannot be forced or pulled out of us. If we think about when we've had bad injuries, it's because we didn't pay attention. We weren't mindful to our movements or to the situation, and we broke something or pulled something or put ourselves out in that way. So yes, coming with an intention which focuses our attention. Asana practice is one of eight pieces or eight limbs, one of the eight limbs of Raja Yoga. There are seven other things that are part of Raja Yoga, as explained by Patanjali. There's also Bhakti Yoga. There's also Jnana Yoga. There's also Karma Yoga or selfless service. So there are other ways to yoke or remove the Maya that we are separate. And asana practice is just one of them.
Is there a yoga that we could do right now on this show? Just a 5-minute something that listeners could actually engage with?
Absolutely.
Cool.
And actually, 5 minutes is a good time. It takes about 3 to 5 minutes to get into your relaxed, your parasympathetic nervous system to relax. So let's just ground our feet.
Okay.
There are chakras at the bottom soles of your feet. We often focus on the eight main ones, the seven or eight main ones, but there are many in the body. And so there are two, one on each sole of the feet, and you are just soaking up, drinking up that energy, which flows in a loop through the earth to us and back in. And lifting up each toe, gently taking each toe from its rootedness into the ground, placing it back firmly, and then lifting up onto your heels still on the ground, but lifting up your toes all the way up, stretching that Achilles heel area into your calf, and gently placing that down, and switching to the other foot, lifting onto your heel, your toes should be up, into your, stretching into your Achilles and calf and gently lowering that. And feeling the energy coming through the prana, the life force coming through all the way from your legs into your hips, bringing your ankle across your thigh, whatever's accessible. It might not be a full stretch, and you can always use support or blocks or whatever's needed. And then gently bowing into your hip and opening that hip. And the hip holds a lot of emotion and tension. Almost like a butterfly, giving your knee the movement, the ability to move up and down. And then reconnecting that foot, bringing the other up, ankle over thigh, avoiding the knee, and opening that other hip. Again, gently bowing into that hip, releasing emotions, and allow your knee movement like a butterfly's wing. And then reconnecting that foot and feeling the energy all the way from your toes up to the tips of your fingers as you stretch them over your head and join them in Anjali Mudra or joint hands prayer position and bring that to your heart. Taking a deep breath in and exhaling it. And allowing yourself to sit in silence for however long you need. And if the movements make themselves known to you, you can stretch. You can stretch. Right now, my right shoulder wants a roll. My left shoulder wants a roll. My hands are still joined together in Anjali Mudra. And I bow my head into my inner knowingness, my divinity. And I allow myself to melt into this position. And when we feel complete, you can look up, maybe hug your shoulder and put a hand on the side of your head and stretch out your neck. We often hold a lot of tension in our neck or shoulders, and in order to release it, we have to hold our head and our shoulders to allow them to relax. Much like when we have a spiritual companion who wants to let go but can't until they're completely held and safe. And then turning to neutral neck, spine, shoulders, and then holding the other shoulder and other side of the head and gently stretching that side. And then coming back and giving yourself a head massage. I love head massages, and it's just so affirming of all the energy and who I am. And if you don't enjoy head massages, just hugging yourself, often just wrapping your arms around yourself is such an affirmation. And so I'll leave you with that in this great big hug of who we are.
Thank you. That's amazing. I noticed that I can lift my big toe or all four other toes. Like, I can't do any of them individually. It's like big toe or the other four. Does that just come with practice?
Yeah, in which each day our body is different, right?
Yeah.
Right? Each day, it's an experiment. We experiment what feels right in our body. And today, this might be so. It is the truth. But let's try tomorrow and see what happens.
Cool. Yes. Let's try again tomorrow. Thank you so much for your time here. Blessings and peace on your travels home. Yeah.
Thank you.
Preeta talks about the Maya, which is a force that presents the infinite as something in the finite and physical world. In non-dualist Hindu philosophy, a Maya is understood as an illusion, an ego projection of what is real in the world based on one's individualistic experience of it. Thus, a Maya could be understood as something that is preventing us from connecting with our true self and from connecting with the sacred. We all carry Mayas. What is one that you might be carrying? And how might you practice letting that Maya go? This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.